If not, you'd like to read with us in Exodus, the 20th chapter. There's a thought that come to our mind, and I hope that I can get it across so people can understand just what God requires. You know, we're living in a day and a time when man can excuse anything. Nobody is responsible for their actions. You will even hear in court a person that's guilty of a crime blaming somebody else for the reason why that they committed the crime that they did, and think that should justify them. You know, no matter what it is, we've always got a reason or something that we feel like justifies us and gets us by. But, you know, the word of the Lord, when it comes to God, we either live according to what He says or we stand in judgment, giving account for not doing it. And it's very easy, if we want to accept the word of the Lord, to understand what God requires. It's very easy to see that the biggest majority of the world today is living in violation of the word of God. And because of that, the biggest majority of the people that's alive on this planet today is on the road to hell. And yet, people will listen to that comment and think, you're awful, you're judgmental. No, I'm going by what the Word of God says. And if God's Word says it, I can tell you anything I want to, and that's not going to change what the Word of God says. When we stand before God, we will be judged by what it said, not by what I tried to change it to help you, to make you feel better about yourself. You and I found the only way to make me feel better when I'm in violation of God's Word is to repent and come in line with it. When I was growing up, when I disobeyed my father, there was always a punishment waiting if Dad caught me at it. And the only way to feel good when I seen Dad coming is to know that what I had done was pleasing unto Him. Though He hadn't been around that day, though He was off working, if I had done what Dad expected, I had no fear to meet Him. Well, you and I today, if our heart's right with God, we can come before the Lord in our hour of prayer. We can come before the Lord in the time of worship, and there's no fear in that heart. We're looking forward to the blessings of God. We're looking forward to that communion between us and God. But when we're disobedient, when we come before the Lord, we better be coming with a repentant heart. Because otherwise, we're not going to find mercy. We're going to find God there to chastise us. And that's the same way it was when my dad come home and I'd been disobedient. I didn't get a hug around the neck when he walked up when I'd been disobedient. I got punished. And you and I today, we might think, oh, I'm something special. But when we stand before God, God sees how special His Son was and how special that blood was that was shed for you and I. And because of that, we either come humbly before Him in repentance or we will stand before Him and be judged. All right. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Now, He didn't make a statement that could be misunderstood. He made it plain. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then if you'll turn over into Isaiah, the very first chapter, starting with the second verse. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The oxen knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupter. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Then turning right on down into this same chapter, going down to the 18th verse, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Going right on down to the 28th verse. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinner shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Then if you will, turn over with us into Micah, the 6th chapter, and the 2nd verse. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I worried thee? Testify against me. And as this thought come to my mind in what we first read to you there, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I begin to think upon that, and then some of these other scriptures come to my mind. And I was thinking about the way that people live today, and the way that we treat God, and the gods that we put before Him, and all of the things, though we may not bow unto Him and pray unto Him as we would unto God, yet we let them stand between us and God. They become more important to us than worshiping God. They become more important to us than our Christian life and our close walk with God. So in the eyes of God, they become our God. And God, in what scripture we read to you several times, said to Israel, remind them of what that He had done, how He had drove them out of Israel, out of Egypt, how that He was their God. They would have no other God before Him. How that they would have come before God, worshiping Him. Then here in this last verse, He said, oh my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I worried thee? Testify against me. Today God is asking, I believe, that other people in America and around the world, where is it that I worried thee? What have I done that you would turn away from me? What is it that I've done that has not proved myself to be a God of love, a God of mercy, one is able to deliver, one that has kept His promises, that has done all that I said that I would do? God is asking today, come and testify against me if you've got something to say where I failed. It not been a God as I should have been. And you know, we'll find in America people how that we grumble and complain about the least things in life, and because things aren't going the way that we want them to go, and forget about all that God has done for us, about all that God has given us, about all the prayers that God answered. You know, I can remember back over my life, and there have been many times that I prayed a long time before I've seen prayers answered. And I've got some prayers that I've been praying off and on for years, and I haven't seen the answer. But when I go back over, I order to pray, oh God, lay it down, quit believing in me.
all the others that he's answered for me, they're just icing on the cake. I'm still always for that forgiveness that he gives. I can never repay for that. If I have other prayers that he answered, what is that? Why should I turn my back upon it? Because I prayed for that. There was an answer. He forgave me and answered their prayer.
In anything short of giving my life and living it totally for God, I'm cheating God just because he answered that first prayer. Because he forgave me. Give me a new life and a promise of what's to come in this life when this one is over. In you and I, you know, man today, they can't comprehend because they go to the graveyard and they see names on a tombstone and they know that the person, if they dig down, the bones is there, the ground or the remains is there where that person is laying there. Their life is gone. And they look at that and they just can't believe that it will live again. But you know, Christ proved it. I've heard people say, talk about the stone being rolled away. That first Sunday morning there when Christ come out of the grave. But it wasn't that the stone would roll away. That Christ might get out. Why he proved that when they was locked in the upper room. He just appeared there in the middle. He didn't need that stone roll away to come out. That stone would roll away. That we might look in and pray that his word was true. That he really wrote. Not only did he come to prove himself to the believer that he wrote, but that stone was rolled away. So those that didn't believe could still see that he wasn't there. That he had come for you and I today. The world might say it's useless to pray. God won't hear. He can't. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he does, Father. He's heard an answer prayer for me. He forgave me of my sin. Made me a new creature. And you and I today, because of that, we should live for the Lord the very best we can each and every day. You know, it irritates me when I see people that call themselves Christians. They waver so just because something that happens in their life and they didn't get the prayer answered that they was praying, or God didn't protect them from something happening, some tragedy. You know, I know of people that lost a loved one and they say, well, if that's a God of love that will take that person, I don't want nothing to do with them. Isn't that a foolish statement? Every one of us, if time stands, must leave this life by the way of death. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die and after death the judgment. None of us does he promise that we'll live to be 90 or 100 years old. He just says it's promised you're going to die. So if God takes my child when it's small, what reason do I have to get mad at him? He blessed me to see it take its breath. He blessed me to be able to hold it and to kiss its cheek. And if he takes it before it reaches the age of accountability, what have I got to worry about? I'll see that soul on the other side if I live for the Lord. I'm just laying up treasures there for that I can go and be with God to enjoy throughout eternity. You and I today, why should we question God if he takes our wife or our husband when we thought we needed them so much? God said that he was better than tender above that we were able to bear.
that all things would work to my good. If I love God, you and I today, we need to hold on to the things of the Lord and believe and know God will is the best, and though we might not understand it, it will just surrender to it.
We'll know when this life is over that our heart's desire and beyond will be there supplied to us. You know, people will not go to church. I've had people to tell me this. Well, I can't go to church. I've got to work. I just can't make it without working. And they work 7 days a week. And they ain't making it. All you got to do is talk to them and find out they're right up against it. You know, if we give God what God asks of us, a little will go a whole lot farther. You know, you'll find back there in the Bible, the children of Israel, when they went out to gather up the manna to eat, if they tried to gather up more than they needed, it was full. It was there to supply what they needed that day. But when it comes to the Sabbath day, the day before, they was to pick up what they would need for that day plus the Sabbath day. And it kept. It didn't spoil like it does all the other days of the week. What was the difference? What made the difference? It was the exact same thing. They put it in the exact same container. What made the difference? Obedience unto God. You and I today, if we obey God's word, He will see that what we have is all that we need. He didn't say, I'll give you everything you want, but He said, I'll supply your need. You and I today, if we'll put our faith and trust in that true and living God and realize we have no other God that we can believe in. People that say, oh, I just can't afford to take off from work and go to church, because if I do, I'm going to lose my car, I might lose my house. If you'll put your faith and trust in God, God can supply you a job that you can make a living in 5 or 6 days. Because you're not making it without working that devil. You might as well hurry up and start the day. Why get it over with? You and I today, it's time for us to realize if we come and worship God, put Him first in our lives, everything else will be alright. The children of Israel, when they were obedient unto God, they didn't have to worry about a thing. He supplied them water in the wilderness. He supplied them food. He supplied everything they needed. Everything God supplied us all. As long as they were being obedient. But disobedience cost a great deal. He said, just go in and possess the land. They went and took a look, and they said, there are giants in that place. We're afraid of them. And Caleb and Joshua said, they're delivered into our hand. We can go in and possess the land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, just like God said. Took 2 men to carry 1 pot of grapes. That's producing, isn't it? God had it already cultivated. The crop's there. They just had to go in and take it. And they was afraid. When God pronounced their punishment, they said, okay, we'll just go and take the land. It was too late. It was too late. You and I today, when God tells us something, do it then. Because when you get around to doing it on your own time, it may be too late. And you'll have to pay the penalty for being disobedient. God is God, and besides Him, there is none else. And I ask the same question. Testify against Him. If God's not a real God, if He's failed you, I want to hear how He failed you. I want you to tell me just how it is that God has failed you.
But I want you to tell me what all you've done for God.
You know, you'll hear people say, oh, you're trying to work your way to heaven. No. It's just that I owe God so much, and the best way to show Him that I love Him is in action. You know, I've heard people tell somebody, oh, I love you. And in just a little bit, they would turn it around and trying to do something, trying to cheat them out of something. Was that real love? No. But when you come to God and you say you love Him, if you really love Him, be obedient unto what God said. For as it were, Paul heard, he thought that he loved God. He would persecute the church. He would do what the church leader told him to do. He was jealous of that. Why? Because he wanted to do the work of the Lord. He would persecute those that were trying to go another way than what the church leader said to go. Under his chain of life, there was a road to the master. And he heard the word. And if God spoke unto him, he said, Paul, it's hard to kick against the free. Paul, in other words, you're fighting a losing battle. You're not going to be able to win this one. Paul began to realize it wasn't the church leaders he needed to follow. It was the Lord. The one that was speaking unto him, sir. So what did Paul do? He turned right back around, went down the same road he'd been persecuted. The church, the people that had been born again, those that was worshiping Christ, he went right back to the same church leader that had ordered him to go in prison. And he went to the hell preacher, Jesus Christ, and he arose from the dead. Paul said, I was the last one to see that. After his resurrection, there was a road to the master. Paul said, it did not fail. You and I today, people say, oh, if I could only say, if I only knew, if I could reach out and say, oh, God's never you today, if you only believe. And come before Him, not doubting. Today, we need to live as Christ said there to Thomas. He said, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. I have not seen God with my eyes, but I have felt His touch many, many times. In a vision in the night, one time I seen three figures standing in a room at Jerry Wood's house. I was just a young preacher, and I had been praying for my sister that was lost for some time, and I had such a burden for her that I couldn't hardly sleep. And I went to bed that night, and I turned over and over and over, I don't know how many times, and the moon was shining, though there was a light cloud cover. The moon was shining enough to where you could make out all the furniture in the room. And I turned over several times in that bed trying to get to sleep. And I turned over toward the door. Right there at the door stood three figures just as plain as they could be. And it was all three in robes, and their stripes that went sort of at an angle across their garment from the high point on the, as I was looking at it, on the left side to the low point on the right side. But then they were distinguished three individual figures there, and the stripe ended on this one. You went right over to the other one, and it was just like it started in a perfect line. And when I turned over and looked at it, just as I started to set up all, somebody had come into the room and said, Herbert, it's going to be all right. And I don't remember another thing. But each one of us must be willing to put faith forefront in our life, believing that what we ask of God, He will do. Each and every one of us, God is the same. He hasn't changed. That God that spoke to Israel and told them what He required, that God that spoke to the men that wrote the New Testament and told them what He required, it's still true. He's still God. You know, the movie that you'll hear announced every little bit now, Da Vinci Code or something like that, you know, there's all kinds of people that call themselves Christians that's going to come out if they go and watch that or read the book or whatever. They're going to come out with questions about Christianity and what it really is. They're going to come out with questions on every bit of what God says, whether it's true or not. And yet, the book, the movie, every bit of it is based on things that's not true, on lies, on deception, on things the devil is trying to deceive people into believing. You know, people that believe that, though they may be a church member, they're not a Christian. And you know how you can tell? A Christian, once they felt the experience of that Holy Spirit on the inside, you do not question whether the Bible is right. You do not question whether God's Word is true. You know it is. Why? Because you've got that communion with that Holy Spirit telling you so. And you and I today, there is no other God that we can serve. There is no other God that can deliver. There is no other God. I don't care what men may worship. There is no other God that can change your heart and life. You know, there's people that, as I was saying there earlier, they worship their house, they worship their car, they worship their children, they worship their wife, they worship their husband, they worship their family, they worship some friend. There are even people that worship, as I was seeing or hearing in the news, this man that he's supposed to be some prophet, and he just walks into the people's house and following and takes a 14-year-old girl and gives her to some 40-some-year-old man for it to be his wife. Believes in multiple marriages. And these people that follow me goes along with whatever he says. And yet you give people like that the Word of God and they won't listen to it. But God said, listen to this. And wherein have I worried thee? Testify against me. You and I today, where is it that we can testify and tell God that He's failed? All these things that we might worship, they don't change our mind. You can worship something. Look back in the Bible. There is the apostles. People that wanted to praise them. Wanted to worship them. Why? Because they're shattered and fell upon somebody. They were healed. Or as they reached out and put on to somebody's hand, they were healed. But what did they say? No. You and I today need to come humbly before God and worship Him in spirit and in truth, knowing that God has not changed. He said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. You know, if you say you're a Christian, If God answered your prayer and you've truly been forgiven, why on earth would you doubt God or question Him because of something that you have prayed that God didn't answer? Why would you question God because you're not getting your way? Are you so sure that what you want is right the way you're wanting? Why are you questioning God? Why not leave it in God's hands and say, Lord, it's up to you. God, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. You know, we can pray and believe and know that when this life is over, if we don't see that prayer answered in our lifetime, when this life is over, know beyond a shadow of any doubt that God is right there to still remember those prayers and to hear an answer. You know, I remember a lady in North Carolina that when I was just a kid praying for her son, I think it was, son or son-in-law, I forget now which it was. But anyhow, they drank and she lived with them. And they just made her life miserable. Didn't want her coming to church. They'd just pitch a fit with her. They wouldn't come to church with her or nothing. And this Sunday morning, she was in church and she was just happy she could be, shouting, praising the Lord. And she was telling the church just how awful her life was. There at home with that boy coming in drunk, and that she just couldn't stand living there. She just wished if God wasn't going to save her, but change that, that He would take her home. But that evening when the people, well, when they dropped her back off, the ones that picked her up and brought her to church, when they dropped her off, she sat down on the porch and just leaned back against the wall, because there's a big argument or something going on in the house. And they drove on off, but when they come back to pick her up that evening, she was sitting in that same chair. But her head was laid back against the wall, just like she was looking up, and they got out to tell her, when we come to pick you up, and they go, and she was sitting there dead. God had answered her prayer. As far as I know, that family never come to God. But they can't stand before God and say, I didn't have a chance. My mama lived a life in front of her. She prayed for her. And they hated her. They didn't want to hear her sing and heal. They didn't want to hear her pray. They didn't want to part of God. And she didn't want to live their lifestyle. So God took her to a better place. All the look it was on that family. They somewhere or another down across time, they prayed and repented. But when judgment is done, mama will be there to witness against them if they didn't hear her prayers. They didn't heed them. The prayers that she prayed for them, you might say, well, if they didn't come to the Lord, they were unanswered. God give them opportunities. God does not make anybody serving. You and I today, God's not going to make us serving. He will just make us wish we had. You know, the world over, you can take any religion you want to name. Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Catholic, Protestant, whatever you want to name. I don't care who it is they bow before, unless it's the Son of the Living God calling upon Jesus Christ to forgive them,
because he's the one that paid the price. Unless you come before him, the Bible said every knee will bow, every tongue will confess.
Christ said, I am the door. So you can bow and talk to anybody you want to, but I'm here to tell you today, unless you go through and by that door, Jesus Christ, you're on your road to hell. And I don't care how many statues you got in your house, how many you got in your car, I don't care how many prayers you pray to Saint so-and-so, I don't care what it is that you do in your life. Christ is the only one that can forgive you. And he said, I'm your mediator between you and the Father. And you and I today, we better know that we've been forgiven. When we stand before God, we better have that blood applied and Christ saying, Father, he's mine. I bought him. He's mine. Why don't we get some song to sing? In what we read to you there, what can you say against what God has done? What can you say is your controversy with God, in other words? What do you disagree with God about? You know, God has told man that he disagrees with us plenty of times. You know, I've said this many times in my preaching. There have been a lot of things in life that I tried to, I guess you say, take up my defense with God and explain myself to God why that I thought that I was right on something. But you know, when all was said and done, I had to come to the point and realize God was right. You know, there have been many of a time in my life that I thought that what I was doing was okay. Till God showed me otherwise. And there was no way that I could convince him that I was right. And you know, the Bible asks you that question, in other words, who is it that's capable of being God's counselor? You know, a counselor you go to help you with a problem or something that you've got because they are more knowledgeable in what you're needing help in than you are. Well, I want somebody to tell me who it is that's smarter than God on any subject you want to bring up. There is no man. Nobody. So why even sit down and start an argument with him? The best way to go to approach God is just start off being willing to listen and say, yes, Lord. While we stand and sing, if there's something in your heart that's not right today, will you call? Realize that God's able to deliver. You know, just like we was talking about that sister there on what's called Windy Ridge, over from where Lovell's Creek, the old Lovell's Creek Church, as it sat there beside 52. Now the new lane that went in took that church and they built another one. But she lived over there on Windy Ridge. And she's long gone to be with the Lord. God heard and answered her prayer. You and I, when it gets to where life is unbearable, isn't it nice to know we can look up to one that can say, child, come on home. I've made a way for you. Each and every one of us, please, put our faith and trust in God. Don't get irritated because things ain't going right. If the devil knows it, if you don't get your prayer answered today, he'll make you want to throw up your hands and quit. He'll do all he can to keep you from getting that prayer answered. Let's put our faith and trust in God and know if the prayer is answered today, God did it. If it don't get answered today, I'll be looking for it to be answered tomorrow. And if it don't get answered in the next 10 years, that ain't going to make me doubt God. I'll still be looking for it to get answered. You and I today, isn't it nice that God answers enough of our prayers regularly to keep us praying on? While we sing, will you come? Are you letting things stand between you and God? Is there something that you are irritated or I guess you'd say discouraged about because you haven't got it to turn out the way that you want? You know, it's useless to think of things that we want to get done or things that we want to have happen in the big scheme of things, I guess you'd say. Because God, He don't only see this moment. He sees tomorrow. He sees next week. He sees next year. He sees all the way to your life, the end of your life. And He knows exactly what it takes today to make you a stronger Christian for tomorrow. And He will have it there to prepare us for that. But you realize if we don't accept what God sends away, we might not even be there to stand the test tomorrow. God said, I'll go with you all the way even unto the end. But no place can you find where He binds us in His army. At any time, you and I, if we want to, we can turn and walk away. God said, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. But you and I, if we desire, we can walk away from God. Why? Because we're not a slave. God died to make us a free will agent, that we've got a choice who we serve. And He asked us, for you to choose, right or wrong. I set before you life and death. Each and every one of us, we make that decision every day whether we want to live for God or not. And if we are not doing what God asks, then we're turning and walking away from Him. And that's a choice you make.